Quare dicunt in populis, ubi est Deus eorum? Why should they say among the nations, where is their God? In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Between the porch and the altar, the priests, the Lord's ministers, shall weep and shall say, Spare, O Lord, spare thy people, and give not thy inheritance to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Why should they say among the nations, Where is their God? Where is our God? Many pagan nations surrounded the chosen people, mocking them in their moments of desolation, of great tribulation, by asking, Where is their God? It is a question that we too might hear from the mouth of unbelievers meeting us today, seeing the state of the church, be they in the halls of power or simply in the halls of our homes. Where is your God? You claim the truth and yet are everywhere divided. Where is your God? There is too much pain, they cry, too much evil, too much suffering. Where is your God? Your own church leaders cannot agree, and sometimes they persecute you themselves. Where is your God? Worse yet, in the silence of our hearts, with an eye to our past sins, in the tribunal of our conscience, Satan the accuser stands like a prosecutor, and finding us oppressed by pain or painful memories, he too asks us, Where is your God? In an age of confusion and turmoil, both in the world and in the church, we might at last ask the question ourselves in despair, Where is our God? By our Lord's own words, we will find him. At the end of today's Holy Gospel, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ declares, For where thy treasure is, there is thy heart also. The heart of our Savior is indeed where his treasure is. His heart is with us. During his earthly life, he is to be found wherever the will of God the Father moves him. From the temptation in the desert, recounted on the first Sunday of Lent, until his last breath on the cross on Good Friday, that Friday made good by the victory of his blood, our Lord's treasure will be in his pursuit of sinners, to seek that which was lost, to seek us. We are his treasure, and there too is his heart, longing for our souls. Yet if his heart is already with us, how can it be that we have trouble finding him? We have not yet learned to see all suffering with the eyes of humble faith. Don Guéranger comments on this great Ash Wednesday by reminding us that Adam, our father, was forgiven his sin of disobedience, but on the condition that he and his children, us, would be sentenced to die one day. It is a sentence that none would escape. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. Abandoning the author of life is only fitting that we are abandoned to death, for as St. Paul would explain, the wages of sin is death. Expressing thus in our flesh what we have sown in our souls. Where is our God? Where is the heart of the Savior then? At every moment of his public ministry, from his temptation in the desert until his crucifixion, he is on the front line of the battle against sin and death. He yearns to suffer our sentence of earthly death in order to free us from eternal death. For indeed there is a second death by which we risk being deprived forever of the vision of life itself, the company of our God in heaven. To save us from the second death, our Savior will embrace the first. The sentence of death passed against Adam will strike also the new Adam, Jesus Christ, the eternal God who by embracing death in time will destroy death in eternity for those who love him. If we are having trouble finding our Savior in our own lives, we need first ask the question of today's Holy Gospel. Where is our heart? St. Augustine, commenting on today's Gospel, gives us obvious places where we will not find it: in exterior riches, sumptuous vestments. No, the God of our heart, the Son of the Eternal Father, has taken off the very raiment of the appearance of his divinity. He cannot be found in merely material apparent wealth sought for its own sake. However, less obviously, neither can he be found in the mere appearance of virtue. It is not enough to don the appearance of penance. True sadness for sin proceeds from a loving heart. And so the God of our fathers cries for us to rend our hearts and not our garments. Our self-will is so strong that our pride can corrupt even the seemingly holiest of penances. We suffer that great asymmetry between our God who is, yet appears not. That is, our God who is true, and yet often hides behind a lowly appearance. And we, who appear often to be strong and virtuous servants of God, and in fact are not, hiding our pride instead behind a veneer of service. Yet as our Lord said to Samuel, the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. No, our Lord may not be found in the lust of the eyes, nor in the pride of life, as St. John warned us, not in vain appearances. Where is our God? We may only find him at that true crossroad of hearts that is Calvary itself. We will not find our Lord in the eyes of others, no. We will find him on the cross. It is that union to his loving obedience of the Father, that denial of ourselves that he expects to find in our own hearts. If our God appears distant to us in a time of trial, it is often instead because we are distant from him, because we have forgotten that the only path to eternal life is through a daily death. Where is our God? He is waiting, waiting on our generous response to the many crosses he sends us. He awaits us in that moment of impatience that threatens to engulf us as our neighbor provokes us. He awaits us in those moments before and after that temptation against holy purity. He awaits us in that mirror as vanity threatens us. He awaits us in our final moments as death calls to us. He waits on Calvary, having gone ahead of us, tracing the career of these 40 days before us. We cannot truly and lastingly find him without ourselves dying, dying to ourselves. Our Savior proclaimed explicitly, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." Let them deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. To the eyes of the world, our suffering, our lack of worldly success, is a proof that if God exists, he has abandoned us, when the contrary is true. Christ made suffering the privileged means of sanctification. The eyes of faith see that the precious blood has remade the world, has inverted it. What was our punishment is now the gate by which we enter into eternal life. It is the humble embrace of mortification, of penance, most especially of all that counters our own self-will, that unites us to our Savior, that remakes our poor sinful hearts little by little into his sacred heart. As the Apostle says, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. As we begin the great season of Lent, let us privilege, therefore, not what the world sees, but what the eyes of faith see. In the crucifixion, what was a scandal to the Jews is now the pride of every Christian. the eternal proof of God's infinite love. The eyes of faith likewise see that our Lord's suffering have remade all suffering that is united to his own, endured for him, offered to him, shown to him, and what is best, hidden from everyone but him. We should certainly take up good spiritual reading, practices of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving during this Lenten season. But let us not neglect to seek our Lord in the very trials that he himself in his love chooses for us by his providence and offers to our own love. Those very moments when a pagan might gaze upon our distress, our suffering for the truth, for the faith, for purity, for humility in our daily lives, in the smallest actions, those moments of seeming desolation when that pagan might ask, "Where is their God?" With faith, we know the answer. Beyond the illusions of this world's wealth, destined to be reduced to ash, my suffering heart is his treasure, and it is in my very suffering for love of him that I know his heart is here, that I know that he is here. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.